The Holy Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought he was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. They were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Would you please be seated, and at this time our children are dismissed for children's church. For any visitors we have today, you might have noticed Father Steve isn't here. He is home. He wasn't feeling well. So I'm not Father Steve. He's taller, he's better looking, but I have more hair. You know, Tuesday was a rough day for me, really a lot of suffering. I start my day every day with a smaller cup, less ice, probably 24 ounces. If that wasn't enough, later, ketchup only. Get to the drive-thru, I always look. Mustard, can you believe that? Had to go back through and get it right. I was suffering. Now, how does that measure up to other sufferings like high gas prices or world hunger? I don't know, but in that moment, I was suffering. Now, some of y'all might say, suffering, maybe not. Paula would certainly make fun of me if I tried to complain about that. But in that moment, I thought, I don't know if it's gonna get any worse today, because see, it's all about perspective. For me, it was just enough to not have enough Diet Dr. Pepper and mustard. But for the disciples, they were out in the middle of a lake during a storm in the dark, not making headway. It's all about perspective. They were starting this journey of several miles across the lake. The boats usually in that time had small sails as well as oars, so unless the wind was directly blowing in the sail, they could sail. But since in this case, it was not to be, they were out rowing and hard and not getting very far. Mark tells us that the wind was blowing against them and they weren't making much headway. And at that point, remember, we know from last week, they were already really tired. They had been on this mission journey with Jesus. Then when Jesus had called them to be alone and have a time to rest, instead they had to feed the 5,000 and they had to help share that food and pick up after that food. They were worn out physically, probably emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Have you been there? Have you known what it's like to be worn out? Like a good Southerner would say, I'm just slap worn out. Or a good Southerner might say, I'd have to die to get better. They were worn out. And you know, when that happens, sometimes that really wears us down, where our perspective is, I don't know if things are going to get worse. And I think perhaps the disciples were wondering, can this day get any worse? We're exhausted, now we're in a storm, it's in the dark. It got worse. They saw what they thought was a ghost. And if you don't know, in Old Testament times, if you saw something that appeared as a ghost, they thought it meant, I'm gonna die. So that really upped the ante. Now they really thought, it just can't get any worse than this. So, you know, rather it was me worrying about Dr. Pepper and mustard or them worrying about everything they went through, sometimes, especially if we're tired, we're up against it and we just don't know what else we can take, and that can change our perspective. I know most of us in this room, probably more than once, have had the experience that when you love deeply, you grieve deeply. We've had to maybe struggle with financial pressures. You know what it's like when there's more month than money at the end of the month? That's crushing, isn't it? Maybe now or in the past you've had to wait in that awful limbo of what is this doctor going to say or what will this test be. Maybe we just look at current events and we say, oh my goodness, things are not looking up. We feel like the disciples in this passage were trying to row, but boy, we're not making much headway. That can hit us hard, and that can cause us to lose our perspective. And let me plainly say, yes, I'm talking to those of us who believe in Jesus Christ. That can hurt our perspective. Because the truth is, hard waves can cause hard hearts. Hard waves can cause hard hearts. But I want to quickly jump in there to say, I'm not talking about one way we think of hard hearts, which means we're cold to sin and we're uncaring and we're insensitive. That is one definition of hard hearts. But that's not what Jesus was talking about when he got on the boat and mentioned that phrase, hardened hearts. That isn't what I'm talking about. The disciples saw Jesus walking in the water, but they didn't know him. They thought it was a ghost. And then when he gets in the boat and everything calms down, they're amazed. And Jesus said, wow, I kind of thought you might have got the lesson of the feeding of the 5,000, but right now your hearts are hardened. That's not a rebuke. That's not a criticism. And if that's where you are today, I'm not certainly offering a rebuke at all. Sometimes hard waves cause hard hearts, and that's when it's just really tough to fully see who God is and hold on to what he's able to do, and so maybe our idea of what he's able to do gets diminished. That hurts. Those kind of hard hearts hurt. But I'm also grateful today to be able to say this passage gives us several helpful perspective changers, and I'd like to lift those up to us. Here's the first one. Remember, they're out in the middle of the lake in this awful storm. And by the way, it's pitch dark. Jesus sees them, Mark tells us, and he sees them with the same compassion he had just had on the 5,000 that were hungry and waiting for something to eat. See, we often overlook that little detail. Even when they were out not making much headway, Jesus saw them and viewed them with compassion. And that is a perspective changer we can grab a hold of. Even when we can't see him and he feels like he's at a distance, he still sees us through his eyes of compassion. Lamentations 3, one of my favorite verses, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies shall never come to an end. They are new every morning. Always sees us with the eyes of compassion. Mary and Martha, when they're at the tomb, their perspective is so shattered by their grief, they can't even really imagine what Jesus is trying to say when he says, Lazarus will rise again. Jesus didn't say, Martha, what's wrong with you? He weeps with them. Jesus sees us through the eyes of compassion. Let that be part of what changes our perspective. We know that his love endures forever. If you've ever read Psalm 136, you know it reads almost like a litany in every other verse. The steadfast love of the Lord endures. I want us to grab a hold of this. I want us to know that this is true in the storms in our life. And this is the second perspective changer I want to offer you. That when you can't see his hand, you can still trust his heart. When you don't know what's going on, we still know God is good. When we can't see what's happening, God has still loves us and got our back. Nothing can and ever will change that. Even if we're here today in times when it's tough and we're worn down by life, even if we're dealing with illnesses or the fear of illnesses, even if we're dealing with unspeakable grief, even if you had to put up with people that got on your last nerve, even if situations turned out the way you didn't imagine, just like the disciples kept on rowing, we keep on putting one foot in front of the other. And why we can do that is out of this perspective that when I can't see his hand, I can still trust his heart. Have you wondered what they were thinking when they were out in the middle of that storm? You know, it started to storm. Maybe they could have turned around and went back. Were they just maybe a little nuts? Why were they there? Why were they doing that? Why they were there is because Jesus said, go across to the other side of the lake. What I hope we can see and what I think is a big perspective changer is that we can be in the middle of the will of God and still be in the middle of a storm. The two aren't opposed. And way too often we get down or we trip up or we get defeated because the first time a storm comes up, we either say, what have I done wrong? Or, boy, I must be out of God's will on this one. I was new in seminary. It was my first job in a church. It was the first event I was doing as a youth pastor. We took 3 carloads of kids to an amusement park. So excited, more kids came. They were new, I didn't know a lot of them. We go, we have a blast at the amusement park. We get home about midnight. Only 2 of the cars were there. All right, waited a while, 20 minutes, no third car yet. And of course, as you might figure, the third car had all the new kids in it. So the parents are there to pick them up. I didn't know any of those parents. 2 hours in, they're still not there. This is before cell phones, okay? I say, I need to take a break for a minute. You can imagine what I was doing. Me and Jesus are having a talk in my car. And I'm saying, really? The very first thing as I do as a minister, what are you trying to tell me? What have I done wrong? Or either you're wanting to punish me. I immediately tripped up over that. It's so easy to do that. By the way, at 3 a.m., they got home, they were safely. The driver just didn't think to call, never figured that one out. But see, we trip ourselves up by automatically connecting a storm to punishment or failure. They were in the storm because they were right where God told them to be. Now, I don't want to be accused of heresy, so let me say, yeah, sometimes things are our own stupid fault. Sometimes it is a result of sin and there are consequences. Y'all don't know this about me, but I'm a little bit on the impatient side. Okay, I'm a lot impatient. I'm really impatient. A friend of mine put on Facebook, I struggle with impatience. I wrote back, I don't. I embrace it. I'm good at being impatient. Well, one of our little things we do that Paul and I have worked out because of my impatience is if we're going to a restaurant and we think there's a crowd, she'll drive into the parking lot and I dive out of the car. Why? So I can maybe beat a few people to the door. So one time, Paul and I are there with another couple who happened to be sitting right there. We're going into Chili's, and I dive out of the car, and I'm running for that front door. And right when I get to the door, there's a lady pushing a baby carriage. I'm not that bad. So I stop and say, go on in. Okay, stay with me. So we get in, we eat our dinner, it's all good. A lady from my church comes over to our table, and guess who her daughter is? The baby carriage lady. She goes, there's that wonderful man that ran up just to open the door for me. My halo would have been so good till someone named Bob threw me under the bus and said, oh, don't think he was running up in the door for you. See, sometimes it's our own fault when we look bad. But that isn't always the case. We need to recognize that we can be in the middle of a storm and in the middle of the will of God. Don't let that trip us up. Stop looking at our trials through the eyes of guilt and punishment. Let your perspective be changed. Then we come to the fourth perspective changer, which is really, if it's like me, it's going to grab your attention. Verse 48, Jesus is walking in the water, and it says, I'm not making this up. It says, he intended to pass them by. Did you catch that? I had to read it like 3 times. What? Jesus intended to pass them by? What's up with that? So, you know, as I try to do whenever I'm preaching, I read commentaries and studies. And some of the commentaries tried to say, well, it really should say they thought Jesus was going to pass them by. But it doesn't say that. That's like, no, they're trying to take the easy way out on that one. So what's going on? Jesus intended to pass him by. Now, I don't think for 1 minute he was going to let him drown. He might have let him keep rowing until they got there. I don't think the outcome was ever in doubt. But let's put this in some other scriptural context. In Luke 18, verse 37, with Bartimaeus, the blind man, Jesus was passing by until Bartimaeus says, "Lord Jesus, have mercy on me." The road to Emmaus, Luke 24, Jesus taught those two that didn't know him for a while, and then it said he intended to keep on going until they said, "No, please stay. Please stay." What am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say we need to remember in those times in our life where we really want to cry out to him, be encouraged to do so, because our need can override his path. That says, in other words, prayer works. Prayer changes things. I don't pretend to know how it works. I don't pretend to know why it works. That's why prayer is a mystery. But this passage and others say, let your perspective be changed by the fact that you cry out to God, and it can change his movement towards you in your life. Let prayer be your weapon in the storms of your life. That's a perspective changer. And one last perspective changer. Jesus was up on the mountainside praying most of the night. Says he was out till the fourth watch, right? By the way, that's a time we usually call the darkest, just before the dawn. Things look awfully bleak then, don't they? Usually if we're awake then, it's not for a good reason. I can't give you a timetable. Sometimes it won't be till the fourth watch of the night. But I can tell you this. When they saw Jesus walking on the water, they were terrified, they were afraid, they cried out in fear. Why couldn't they recognize it was Jesus? Because fear overpowers our ability to be rational or thoughtful or hopeful. Fear can do that to us. Jesus sees their fear and he says, "Be of good courage, it is I." And by the way, that phrase, "it is I," is the same phrase the Heavenly Father used in Exodus 3 when he says, "I am who sent you." Jesus says, even when you are terrified, here I come to you as the I am. And then he says, so don't be afraid. He didn't just say, don't be afraid. Has that phrase on its own ever worked? If you're really worked up and somebody says, don't be afraid, not going to help me. You know it doesn't work on your children. Stop being afraid. How's that supposed to help? But Jesus said, it is I. And when we let our perspective change to look at Jesus, the one who is always and forevermore shall be, then his peace overrides any irrational fear. He replaces our terror with peace. When you're in the storms of your life, let the I am come to you and replace whatever you're dealing with emotionally with its peace. You know, when it's all said and done, isn't that what matters? Regardless if the situation immediately improves or not, what matters is that we stay in the storm in peace. The presence of Jesus, we acknowledge him as the I am, the one who was and is to come. That always results in peace, which especially in the times of a storm is our deepest, deepest need. When we hurt, when we're worried, when we don't know where else to look, the presence of Jesus manifests in peace. So finally, let me close just by saying this. If we allow the working of the Holy Spirit to change our perspective, we have something to do. And that's to enter into the storms with other people. It's not to jump into their chaos. That doesn't help anything. Trust me, I know. I was raised by professional worriers. Just getting worried with them isn't going to do any good. But if we remind them that Jesus' eyes are always with them and that his heart is always towards them, if we remind them that even in a storm you can be in the center of the will of God, that our cries and prayers make a difference, we might become that instrument of peace for them. This is how to sum it up. We are never out of his sight. We are never out of his reach. We are never out of his loving care. We are never out of his power. We are never out of his peace. Amen.